Okay, cool. So we are live. Like I said, my days are just all over the place. Just got back from a 3-day trip to Cancun, Mexico with a bunch of my buddies. One of my buddies is getting married this month, October. So we went there for a few nights to celebrate for his bachelor party, and it was a lot of fun, which actually made me think, okay, maybe this would be a good opportunity to go live and talk about how I approach vacations, travel plans, even plans like this where it's a bachelor party where, you know, alcohol may be involved, and how I approach those types of events and still stay on track to where I don't lose any progress or I don't go backwards or I don't feel guilty or whatever. But I'll maybe save that for next week. So let me know in the comments below. Let me know on this if you would like to hear about that, if you'd want me to do, you know, a Facebook Live or a podcast or a video on that, because I think it'd be really helpful, because I think that's where a lot of people feel like they are going to fall off track. And you don't have to. You don't have to feel that way at all. Like, I came back and I weighed the exact same. I don't feel like I went backwards in my progress at all. And I had a great time, and I did it with zero guilt, and you know, we're just right on board, right? And that's what it's about. It's about feeling like it's a lifestyle and not this job that you have to do to uphold, you know, all these fitness habits or nutrition habits that you've already built. So today we're not going to talk about that though. We are going to talk about carbs and fat, and we're going to talk about, if you haven't seen from the title of this, we're going to talk about what's better for fat loss, either a low-carb diet or a low-fat diet, or I guess vice versa, either a high-carb diet or a high-fat diet. Because this is a question that I get a lot, or concern I hear from new clients coming into the program before they've been in it for a while, is stressing about how many carbohydrates they're eating or what their fat intake is like, and wanting to have this like perfect ratio, right? Like, if you're in this group, you may have at some point heard about tracking your macros or your macronutrients. And we actually talked a little bit about this, I think last week, when I talked about the different levels of importance when it comes to fat loss too, and macronutrients was one category there. There's this a lot of concern about, okay, like how many grams of carbs should I be eating? What percentage of my calories should be coming from carbs? What percentage of my calories should be coming from fat, and this and that? So I wanted to dive into this and kind of go through some of the misconceptions about carbs and fats, and go through what really matters when it comes to carbs and fats for fat loss or changing your body composition and this and that. So first off, we have to determine like what actually are foods that are high in carbohydrates, because there's even a misconception about this, right? I think there's this idea that carbohydrates automatically make people fat, or they make people gain body fat, or people just like look at carbs and they feel like they gain weight or eat too many calories. But the thing is a lot of these foods that people lump into this category of like high carb foods that tend to be fattening for them, or they feel like they're fattening for them, a lot of those foods aren't actually even high carbohydrate foods when you look at what percentage of the calories are actually coming from carbs. Like think about pizza, think about donuts, think about cheesecake, think about other desserts, ice cream, cookies. A lot of these foods people would label as high carb foods, but a lot of these foods, they actually have a higher percentage of calories coming from fat than they do carbohydrates. Like, when we, you know, calculate this, we have to remember that there's 4 calories per gram of carbohydrates and 9 calories per gram of fat. So if we think of where these calories are coming from, a lot of these foods have almost just as much fat as they do carbohydrates as far as grams. And if there is a little bit more than double the amount of calories in 1 gram of fat versus 1 gram of carb, these foods, technically, if you're calculating the percentage of calories of where they come from, they actually come more from fat. They're actually more higher fat foods than they are high carbohydrate foods, but it just gets lumped into there. So what are actual high carbohydrate foods? So those are foods that the biggest portion of their calories are coming from carbs. So rice, pasta, and I'm talking like plain pasta, like not pasta once it's been doused in like Alfredo sauce or something, but rice, pasta, potatoes, let me mute this. Your fruits, so like strawberries, bananas, blueberries, pineapple, oranges, other carbohydrate foods, maybe crackers would be lumped into there. I think I said potatoes. Those are your stereotypical high carbohydrate foods. And then your high fat foods are going to be your oils, so like vegetable oil, extra virgin olive oil, canola oil, also peanuts, a lot of times peanuts, almonds, those things can be lumped into kind of higher fat foods too. Fatty fish, so like high fat salmon, also avocados can be lumped into high fat foods. Those are probably your most common that are like healthier high fat foods versus like just processed foods like those other ones that I mentioned, you know, like desserts and cookies. Like those are obviously high fat foods, but I'm talking more of just the ones that are like a little bit more minimally processed. So those are kind of the distinctions. And I think there's become this myth that doing a low carbohydrate diet is better for fat loss. And I think this has stemmed from this big like keto movement, ketogenic diet movement that started, I know it's been introduced like years ago to treat epilepsy, but as far as fat loss and weight loss, I feel like it really started to gain popularity maybe around like 5 years ago. And I think a lot of people think it's better, right? They hear, oh, this person lost this much weight on keto. They lost this much weight doing low carb. So it must be the carbs and that must be the reason why like I can't lose weight is because I'm eating too many carbs. But the thing is these people who do the ketogenic diet and they do a low carb diet and they cut out all of these carbs, it's not the actual carbs that are making them lose weight or lose the weight fast. And a lot of these people who do that, they might see this dramatic weight loss in the first week or two of doing keto, but it's not from actual fat loss. And this is where the big mix up happens. A lot of this weight loss initially is due to other reasons, mostly water weight. So when you cut out all carbs from your diet, you are basically depleting your carbohydrate or what's called glycogen stores in your liver and muscles. So when we eat carbohydrates, our body breaks it down and it needs a place to store them for energy to be used in the future, or it needs to be stored so that it can maintain a high enough blood sugar level. Because while like having chronically elevated blood sugar levels isn't great, having very low blood sugar levels is not great either. So we need to have carbs stored to where our body can like naturally push those carbs in our blood to keep our blood sugar elevated to a healthy spot. And where the body stores that is in the liver and the muscles. So when you stop eating carbs, your body isn't replenishing those carbs in those areas of the body, of the liver and muscles where it's stored. Not as body fat, it's stored as what's called glycogen. And once those spaces get depleted and lose all the carbohydrate sources or stores in there, we lose a lot of water weight because for every, I think it's every gram of carbohydrate that we store as glycogen, we store like 4 grams of water somewhere around there with. So if we are, you know, depleting our body and end up losing, let's say 400 grams of carbs that we had stored in our liver and muscles altogether, we lose all that. We're going to lose around 1600 grams of water, which is a little over 1 pound of actual like weight. It's actually over 2 pounds. It's actually over 2 pounds of weight, almost 3 pounds of weight. 1600 grams or 1.6 kilograms is around 3 pounds, actually a little bit over 3 pounds of actual weight that you are losing from cutting out those carbs. So 3 pounds of losing weight, not even from losing any fat, just from losing water retention. But people see that on the scale and they automatically think, oh, I'm losing more body fat. Also, a big reason why people lose weight quickly on the keto diet or when they go low carb is because a lot of times you end up slashing your calories super low and you end up losing a like an unsustainable amount of weight because of that. You know, if you switch and you're used to eating 2,500 calories a day, 3,000 calories a day, and then all of a sudden you go to a ketogenic or low carb diet and you're eating 1200, like you're going to see quick weight loss because that's a huge drop in calories. Now, you know, obviously that's not going to be sustainable long term, but that's something else that happens when we, you know, bring our carbs way down or where you go to a ketogenic diet. And then another reason why people might see this drastic weight loss, and it's regarding water weight as well, is a lot of times when people do or switch to a keto or low carb diet, they aren't just taking out carbs, but they're also overall trying to make healthier food choices too. Now, I know there are some people who do keto and they just like eat nothing but bacon, bacon grease and all this, but most people still try to make generally healthy choices when they switch to keto and make a lot of their foods, you know, lean protein or even at, you know, at the very least high fat protein with vegetables, and they try to still make good choices even though they're cutting out carbs. And a lot of times when you make those food choices, your sodium intake just naturally comes down. So if you're eating a very high processed diet that happens to be high in carbs and you're eating high amount of sodium, let's say 3,000 milligrams of sodium for you, and then you switch to keto and low carb and you end up making all these lower calorie, healthier choices that happen to be lower in sodium, and your sodium intake comes down to maybe 1,500 milligrams, you're going to store a lot less water eating 1,500 milligrams of sodium versus 3,000. And that's not even to say like lowering your sodium that much if you don't have blood pressure issues, if you're healthy and you exercise. It's not necessarily a healthier thing to lower your sodium intake, but it's something that happens a lot of times when people make these drastic food choices or for food choice changes, their sodium intake drastically drops and they lose a lot of water that way. So in combination of just eating super low calories, that's a lot of times not sustainable for people, along with losing a lot of glycogen in their liver and muscles and not holding onto as much water because of that. And then also eating a lot less sodium than usual, so they're holding onto less water. This is where that huge like influx of weight loss usually happens in the first couple of weeks of doing like a ketogenic diet. But usually as you continue that on, unless you make other drastic changes to your diet, that will end up stalling. And then, you know, you won't end up actually losing like 5 pounds on average every single week, because that's just not sustainable. And you're not going to lose, no physical person will probably lose 5 pounds of actual body fat per week, unless you are exercising like the amount of like a professional athlete would exercise, or you're somebody who maybe are in the very, you know, high end of body weight. Maybe you know, weigh 300 to 400 pounds. Then that's a scenario where maybe you could possibly lose 5 pounds of body fat in a week. But if you are maybe just in the overweight range, or maybe just in the obesity range, but not in those other higher stages or categories, you won't consistently lose a 5 pounds of body fat in a week, and probably won't ever even do it just once, because it's just such a large amount of actual body fat to lose in such a short period of time. So we have to remember that a lot of this initial weight loss from making some kind of change like this is just from water weight, and it's not gonna, you know, stay at that pace. So like when we think about doing a ketogenic or low carb diet, there are obviously like two, you know, big problems with it. And one is the initial weight loss that we see that we get excited about isn't actual fat loss through all those ways that I just described. And then number two is it's just not sustainable for 99% of people out there. If I were to ask most people who have ever tried keto in their life, like, would you be able to cut out carbs for the rest of your life or eat low carb for the rest of your life and be happy and live your life that way? And most people would say no. So if it's not something that you're going to actually be able to eat this way for the rest of your life, then it's not a great way to go about your weight loss, because even if you do lose body fat doing it, you probably won't ever learn along the way how to keep the weight off or keep the body fat off while introducing carbs back again. So those are two big problems with it. But there is some good news when it comes to all this, which is you actually don't get better results eating ketogenic or eating low carb versus eating high carb. When we look at like long-term research and we look at even short-term research and actually look at the fat loss that's occurring when people eat a low carb diet versus a high carb diet or a low fat diet versus a high fat diet, the carbohydrate and fat ratio of your diet does not matter as long as your calories are equal across the board, your protein is equal across the board, and your fiber are equal across the board. If those three things are matched, when we look at the research out there, it does not matter for the general population whether or not you're eating a low-carb diet or a high-carb diet or a low-fat diet or a high-fat diet. The calories, that's going to be the most important thing. Protein is going to be second most important because that's going to make sure we are keeping our muscle. And then fiber is going to be, I don't know if I would rank it as third most important, but it will be one of the three. And if you don't, if you didn't have a chance to watch the live I did, I think it was last week on fiber, definitely go give that one a watch. Because people who consumed a higher fiber diet, on average didn't absorb, I think it was up to like 100 extra calories, depending on the person, compared to somebody who consumed a lower fiber diet. So basically, if you were trying to figure out how many calories you can eat and either lose weight or maintain your weight or whatever, you actually can eat a little bit more calories, around 100 per day, if your fiber intake is higher. So calories, protein, and fiber are the three most important like nutritional variables when it comes to weight loss. The carbohydrate and fat ratio, like whether you are having, you know, 100 grams of fat versus like 200 grams of carbs versus 100 grams of carbs and, you know, 150 grams of fat, or maybe your fat intake is as low as like 60. When we look at that ratio, as long as they don't get to too extreme of ranges and your calories, protein, and fiber are the same, it just doesn't matter. Which is such a good thing to know, because when clients join our program and I give them specific nutrition guidelines or variables to follow, they don't have to necessarily stress about, oh, am I hitting exactly 60 grams of fat, or am I hitting exactly, you know, 150 grams of carbs, or this or that. Like, you don't have to stress that much about what your carb and fat numbers are, because they really don't matter much in the grand scheme of things, especially when we look at the general population and the research. And like, you know, if you're somebody who's afraid of carbs and afraid to eat carbs, because that's where most people like fall into. Most people, because of just the whole keto movement and this and that, they aren't really afraid to eat a high fat diet. It's mostly the carbs that people are stressed about. But if you're so stressed about reducing the amount of carbs you eat, your fiber intake is probably going to be much lower, because your fiber, we actually get that from carbohydrate sources. We can't get fiber from fat. Fiber is basically, in simple terms, like a subcategory of carbohydrate. And fiber is coming from things like potatoes, whole grains, oats, you know, wheat bread, fruits, vegetables. Those are all sources of carbohydrates that contain high amounts of fiber, which are really beneficial for our health, really beneficial for fullness, and really beneficial for weight loss. So if you're so stressed about keeping your carbs as low as possible, there's a good chance your fiber intake is probably pretty low, which also means you're probably not feeling as full throughout the day, and you aren't getting all those benefits from having more fiber. And the interesting thing is I mentioned like this carb and fat ratio really does not matter for the general population. When we like look at the research and look like very deep into like physiological mechanisms of how different nutrients are like broken down and stored in the body, it actually might be like just slightly, and I mean very slightly, more beneficial to have a higher carb diet in a low fat diet versus a low carb diet and high fat diet for weight loss, like physiologically, based on how carbohydrates are broken down and stored in our body and how dietary fat is broken down and stored in our body. Because carbohydrates, for the most part, most of the time, unless you're really overeating calories, aren't going to be stored as fat as often. Most of the time, they're going to be broken down and used as immediate energy, or they're going to be broken down and stored as glycogen in our liver and muscles, like I mentioned before. Dietary fat, on the other hand, when we overeat dietary fat or calories, that is mostly going to be stored as body fat. Now, if we're at calorie maintenance, then we just kind of keep recycling through that, you know, dietary fat we're storing as fat, and just keep recycling and burning that, you know, and storing it and burning and storing it, and we end up at maintenance, right? But if you overeat dietary fat over your calories, you probably will be more likely to store more of that as fat compared to carbohydrates. Now, it's not a huge difference. So don't like listen to this or hear this and think, okay, I need to eat a low fat diet, because like I said, in the general population research, it doesn't really matter much. But if you like look at the physiological mechanisms behind how we digest and absorb and store different nutrients, there's a high carbohydrate diet actually has a tiny, tiny, tiny bit of an edge over a higher fat diet in that regard. Like I said, when calories, protein, and fiber are equal, when they are the same. Like if you are having, you know, a super low protein diet with your low fat diet and a high carbohydrate diet, that's going to be different than if you are actually eating enough protein. But calories, protein, and fiber all equated, whether or not you're having a high or low carbohydrate diet, like where those other calories are coming from, doesn't really matter much for the general population. So when it comes to that, do you need to have any kind of carbohydrate or fat range, or can you just let it go like free for all then? If it doesn't matter much, can I just have my fat intake super high some days, super low the next day? Can I have my carbohydrates, you know, so high this day and super low the next day? You theoretically could, but I think you would be much better off still most people having some kind of relative range to shoot for, just to keep energy levels consistent, just to keep your fullness levels consistent day to day, just to keep your gym performance consistent day to day as well. Because carbohydrates are really important for, like I said, giving you enough fiber to stay full between meals. So if we're having a consistent carbohydrate intake day to day, then we probably are having a consistent fiber intake day to day, as long as we're choosing relatively the same food choices. If we are having the same amount of carbs each day, our energy levels are probably going to feel pretty similar throughout the day and in our workouts to make sure our performance, you know, is where it needs to be, because carbohydrates are going to primarily fuel that performance, especially your more like high intensity performance. And then when it comes to fat, having a consistent amount of fat is helpful because there are specific vitamins, A, D, E, and K, that are called fat soluble vitamins, where we absorb them better when we eat them with dietary fat. So if you were to just like listen to this and be like, okay, carbohydrates have a very, very slight edge. I mean, like a very slight edge, like probably not even that much worth mentioning, but because they have a slight edge, if you tell yourself, oh, I'm going to cut my fat intake way down, might not be a great thing, because if you cut it too low, then you're going to miss out on absorbing some of those fat soluble vitamins as much, and you might end up with some kind of deficiency there. Also, fat intake is very important for hormone production, especially in women with all the hormonal fluctuations, you know, they see throughout the month of their cycle and this and that, that having a consistent fat intake is very important for them as well. So we don't want to have these like really super high fat days and these really super low fat days, or these very super high carb days or these very super low carb days, just all over the place, because we're going to have inconsistencies in the vitamins we're absorbing, the fullness we feel between meals, our energy levels in our workouts and throughout the day, and also maybe inconsistencies in our hormone production as well. So want to keep things relatively consistent day to day, which is why I think it is a good idea to eventually, you know, once you get more advanced and tracking your food and hitting a calorie and protein range isn't as overwhelming, eventually getting to a point where you have some kind of carb and fat range in the back of your head. So the way I typically do this with clients is I usually give them a roughly a 30 gram carbohydrate range and usually like a 10 gram, maybe 20 gram fat range. And I, you know, tell them, okay, it's not really super important that you even hit inside of this exact range every single day. That's not necessarily the goal. The goal is just get relatively close to this range so we have consistency in those variables I mentioned. So what this might look like is somebody, you know, might be on, and don't quote me on this because I haven't done the exact math on if these calories match up, but somebody might be having, let's say, 2,000 calories per day, and maybe their protein intake is 120 to 140. Maybe their carbohydrate intake is 180 to 120 or 180 to 210. And maybe their fat intake is between 50 and 70 grams. Like that could be somebody's kind of general nutrition protocol that they have with their calories in place, their protein in place, and then rough carbohydrate and fat ranges, you know, like within 30 grams of carbs and within maybe 20 grams of fat, that gets them close-ish to those numbers every day, so they have consistency in those variables. So it's not much about, oh, like having a high carb diet is necessarily better or a low fat diet is necessarily better. It's about having consistency with those variables, making sure either of those variables don't get in too extreme of ranges where you have any kind of deficiencies, and then just really emphasizing the calories, the protein, and then the fiber intake of that overall diet, making those the three most important variables, because those are the three biggest things that will make the biggest impact on fat loss when you manipulate those variables. So hopefully this kind of helped explain some of the myths around, you know, high carb versus low carb diets, or high fat versus high fat or low fat diets, and how there's so many like misconceptions around them of, oh, like carbs are going to make you store fat, or even some people, they're like dietary fat is going to make you store more fat to a huge degree. None of that is true. And it's important to like break this down that way. We're not focusing on variables that don't matter. Like I can't tell you how many clients have come to me and, you know, they've tried tracking all their macros and tried having these very specific numbers for everything all the time. And it got super overwhelming. And then we took a step back and we're like, okay, let's just focus on a calorie range, a protein range, and a rough fiber number. And not even stress about what your carbohydrate and fat intake is for now. And I've had clients who have done that for 6 months to or a year and have lost, you know, 20, 30, 40, maybe even more pounds in that given time period without ever having like a very specific carb and fat range with that. So it just shows that those minor details that so many people stress so much about a lot of times aren't actually what move fat loss or weight loss forward, especially long-term sustainably. A lot of times it's the more broad basic things, but just doing them in the right amounts, like having the right amount of calories for you and the right amount of protein and the right amount of fiber, that can make the world a difference versus if you've been aiming for these wrong numbers for yourself for so long. So hopefully this was informative. Hopefully this was helpful. Definitely let me know if there was anything that you found surprising in this, anything like any misconception that you had around carbohydrates or dietary fat that kind of got exposed or like your eyes got open to. Would definitely love to hear that. Also, definitely let me know, like I said, in the comments, if you would like to hear about how I approach vacations with myself and with clients. That way, you know, you can go on vacation, enjoy a bachelor party trip or a bachelorette party trip and not feel guilty about it, not feel like you're going backwards. But definitely love to share, you know, if you guys are interested in any of that and how I approached, you know, this previous trip. So appreciate you all. Let me know in the comments below on all those things, and I will see you guys in the next one.